Welcome back. Today we're diving into something extremely wonderful, magical, and interesting. The game of life. The game of life. Right now, you are inside a game. Just imagine you're inside a video game, a three-dimensional video game, and everything that's happening is part of the game. And just like a video game, all the challenges that come up are designed to help you move forward to a higher level. So just as you go into this session today, this podcast, think about this. We're going to go deeper into what is a game, what are the rules of the game, and how can you win the game of life? How can you win the game of life? It's such a deep thing. So welcome, welcome, welcome.
Hello.
Hello, Shireen. Are you enjoying the game of life?
Absolutely. Having fun.
Yeah. Have you been enjoying it all the time in your
No. I remember one time I was really upset about something. I was telling Dadi Janki. Dadi Janki is a spiritual head, was. She's since become an angel. And I was telling her about it, and she said, remember, it's a game. Remember, it's a game. And I mean, the way she said it, right? Like, she had such power in her words. I was like, you're right. Since then, I've practiced and practiced, and now it feels like a game most of the time.
Yeah, most of the time. That's great. So today, let's really look into this, right? The game of life. So first of all, we need to know, what is a game? What qualifies as a game? Because human beings, we love games. So there's sports games, right? Think about all the different kinds of sports. There's video games. There's all sorts of random board games, you know, like chess and checkers and things like that. All these different old games. And people still use them now. Very interesting. And Monopoly games. So there's games on that level. When I was growing up in England, when I used to watch TV when I was younger, I remember this game where it was, I can't remember what it's called, but people would have to go into these weird challenges where they had to like get over a bridge and there's all this water flowing down and they had to catch things. And it was just random, like obstacle course type challenges. And even on TV now, there's games where they get put in the middle of nowhere and can they survive? And there's just games, right? We're surrounded by games and we love games. Otherwise, why would there be so many of them going on? Why do people spend so much time? There's card games. So we love games. And what is it about a game that makes it interesting? There's two things. One is that a game involves some sort of challenge and some sort of winning, some sort of outcome, right? So there are challenges and there are stakes. You can lose or you can win, and there's some sort of wonderful outcome if you keep winning, right? The other key thing with any game is that you're safe while you're playing it, in most cases. Not all games. Like with sports, people might get injured, and some of these obstacle courses, people might get injured. But a lot of games, like video games, people are sitting there and they're playing the game in the comfort of their home. I mean, I have heard some of these kids, they might play for like 36 hours and end up like dehydrated. And I mean, I've heard about this, that they fall over and they have to go to hospital, right? So video games can be dangerous as well, but normally they're not. So games are, you're normally somewhat safe and not going to die, right? And you're going through obstacles, overcoming obstacles, and the obstacles are part of the game. If any, like imagine a game of soccer or a game of tennis, imagine all the obstacles are removed. It would be boring, wouldn't it? Like if there's nothing happening, right? Like when I was younger, I used to play Super Mario Brothers. And so Mario or Luigi, they would be running along and they'd jump over things and collect coins and go over things. And right, if there was no obstacles, in the way and you just ran along straight, right? It would be really, really, really boring, wouldn't it? Oh, look, he's moving along the screen. Oh, he's still moving along. After a while, you get bored. It's because there are challenges. You have to jump up and down and go over things and go around things. That's what makes it interesting.
I was thinking about the game, right? And I was thinking that the game that I heard about, I didn't really play it, that the closest that would be to life would be Minecraft.
What do they do in Minecraft?
So Minecraft, it's kind of like a sandbox style of game where you can pick. You can pick survival mode, you can pick adventure mode, you can pick creative mode. You can pick, like I think catastrophic mode or whatever, right? You can pick all of these modes of game. And depending on the mode you pick, so let's say you just pick like a creative mode where you're just flying and all of those. And let's say you're picking survival mode, then you have to overcome hunger and all of that. And so if you're picking adventure, then you have maps and, you know, so it's, you can decide what you want to play in the that, in Minecraft, you can decide what you want to play. So
there's lots of variety.
Lots of variety, yeah. And then the player decides what the, which mode they want to play in. And so I feel that
might be a version.
That is that I feel is the closest to what we are talking about when we say it's a game.
Right. Yeah, that's more direct. And there's probably other games a bit like that as well, where you're like involved in something that is somewhat related to normal life. So games have, on one hand, challenges and obstacles which are part of the game and required in the game to move forward. And the other thing is that typically you're not going to die physically when you play them. Right? Now, how does this relate to our actual life? So here we are, literally right now, wherever you are in the world. Here we are. So how is this thing here a game? From a spiritual point of view, we are spiritual beings in a body, right? So that means even if the body dies, this is like an avatar in a game. So you imagine this character is just like you pick a character in a game, a video game. This is the one we got. And in our life now, we can change characters, can't we? Like we can wear different clothes, we can change our hair, we can speak differently. This character we have can be different, can't it? Like, Shireen, you are different when you were growing up compared to you are now, isn't it? You've changed character in many ways, right?
Right. But, you know, when it comes to game, right, I feel the thing that would help, right, to think of it is as like the avatar you're playing, this is your avatar.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like in a game, you could, you know, in certain video games, you could say, oh, this is the avatar I'm picked.
Mm-hmm.
And you could be that avatar. And so this is the avatar. You don't get to change the avatar in this.
No, you don't get to change the avatar, but the avatar can become different along the way as it plays the game. It's not like it has to, like you can develop special skills, you know, in a game. Like many times the avatar starts off a certain way. And then as they go, they discover things and they start to get new things.
The most important thing in the game is that you don't think you're the avatar. You have to separate yourself from it.
You're playing a game.
You're playing a game. It's a game, you're playing a game, and you're separate. And what you just said, right? You are a soul playing the avatar of Shireen. And whatever happens to the avatar, you, the soul, is safe. You're indestructible, you're eternal, you're safe. The avatar gets destroyed in the game at some point, but you, the soul, don't.
So in a game, in this game of life, we are spiritual beings with an avatar. So no matter what happens to this in this game, we're going to be okay. The soul is going to be okay. This is very, very, very deep knowledge, by the way. This is why we do meditation, to come into the consciousness that we're not this avatar, we're not this body, That takes time. So one is knowing about it intellectually, which is useful, but not enough. The other is having the genuine feeling of peace and security outside the game. So that's a huge topic, which we can talk more about. And we have courses on meditations about. So we're in the game, right? So what the first game, so there's two games we're playing. The first game is that we're in this wonderful world, this 3D world,
mm-hmm.
playing a game, and we're spiritual beings. And the second game is in the world, there are specific games within the game that we're playing, like the game of making money, the game of looking after your health, the game of relationships, the game of doing something meaningful, the game of helping people, right? They're all games within games. And then within those games, there are more games. Like within helping people, there's all nuanced details and lots of other games. So you have games within games within games within games going on.
Like, let's take the game within the game within the game, right? So just being aware, like what you're saying, there's a game within the game within the game. Just being aware that there is a game and then there's a game within the game, right?
Yeah.
Being aware is important. But also there are certain rules. There are certain rules of the game that if we don't make the rules, right, in anything, we don't make the rules. For example, in Minecraft, I was talking to my nephew and he was saying that gravity doesn't behave the same way it does here. You know, things like that. There are certain rules of the game in Minecraft. And so even though we don't make the rules, we have to understand the rules.
Right. Yeah. So what we're doing in this podcast, we're first of all establishing that it's a game, right? Because that's a big deal. Then realizing we're spiritual beings in a game. We're playing. And then inside the game, there are these games that we're playing. And then what exactly are the rules of the game? So what are the rules that allow us to play this game we're in now? And there are five rules that we're going to share with you now. We have more to share another time. So what are these five rules, the main rules of the game? What is the rules of the game?
One thing, though, before we get into the rules, is that these rules are for all the games, the game within the game within the game, all of the layers.
All the games.
All of the games, mm-hmm. these rules are applicable. And they are the same for everyone. It's not like someone else has mm-hmm. different rules and I have different rules. It doesn't matter if, you know, whichever country you're in, whatever you're doing, it's the same rules. And I would say the first rule would be to understand and know yourself as a soul, that you're indestructible, you're eternal. What would you say?
Yeah, no, that is the first rule of the game is that you've come down here and you're going to get a body and you're a spiritual being. And if you're aware of that rule, then you'll feel great and be able to play it more easily. And if you're not aware of that first rule, then the whole thing turns from a dream into a nightmare. You know, that's the consequence of that rule, you know. So if we are aware of who we are, I mean, I experience this on a regular basis, actually. I might get stressed out about something. Oh, it's not working out the way I wanted to. And then I think, no, hang on a minute. I'm a spiritual being. And this is a game. And then I'm like, it's not a problem. It's fine. It's fun and games. Like there's a feeling and a shift in consciousness that happens when you do that. You think, oh, yeah, there's a problem, but it's a game and I'm fine. So that first rule is really important and makes a huge difference to the enjoyment that we have while we're playing the game.
The second rule I would think is karma.
Karma. So what's the karma? What does that mean in the game?
Karma is whatever you sow, so shall you reap. And if you don't do something, you don't receive, right? Like you think, oh, someone else is getting something, but at some point they did the karmas to get it now. And so if you do it, not if you think about it, if you talk about it, no, if you do it, you receive it. And if you do good, you receive good. If you do negative, you receive negative. It's absolute and universal. And also like service, right? Maybe that would be a different role, but like the law of service, like if you serve really from a genuine place, then you receive. You give, you receive. People think that you grab, right? I grab this, I grab that, I grab this, and then I'll be fine. No, grabbing, you don't receive. You're not going to feel any better if you keep grabbing. You will feel better is if you keep giving. Should that be a different role?
Well, it's part. Karma in itself is a very, very nuanced and complicated rule. You know, it's like some rules have like sub rules within them that have to be explained. And karma is one of those quite complicated rules. That in essence, what you give, you get back. But then within that, there's all these nuanced details. Like, for example, I was in Hawaii recently, and there's one of my favorite beaches that I go to for meditation. And it's on the edge of Mark Zuckerberg's property, Facebook founder. And he's bought this property that's like 3 miles long. It's huge property, right? It goes from all the way along. And he has these signs, don't go beyond the beach into his area. And I was thinking, how come he has billions and billions of dollars and can buy this massive amount of premium real estate, right? What did he do? He provided a service to connect people together, give them an opportunity to connect, and then connect advertisers to millions and millions of people. And the result of that, karmically, is billions of dollars, right? Because he did it on such a huge scale that that's the return of that game, right? But it's more complicated than that, because whether or not he's happy or not is a different karma, right? And then if he did anything problematic within playing that game, he has to deal with the consequences of those, even though he's got money. So karma is very nuanced, and something that we actually have another session on. This is worth listening to if you want to learn more about the game, the rule of karma. It's a big topic. So karma is number two. Number three is that we can talk about the law of attraction briefly, right? Law of attraction, in other words, means the energy with which it's kind of, law of attraction is like a sub law of the law of karma, actually, that the vibrations that we hold in ourselves have an impact on what we receive back. So if someone is in a very low state of consciousness, very needy, very angry, very like, then they're going to attract situations that come back in the game that match that energy field. Whereas someone who thinks it's a game, it's fun and games, they're in a high state, they're enjoying themselves, they will attract people and opportunities at the same frequency that they're giving out. And even if something is challenging, they won't experience it as a challenge because of the level. So it's very useful to just ask ourselves, where are we at internally? Because that's affecting our experience of, it gets mirrored back to us in the game. So these are all happening in the game. What's the fourth rule of the game?
Now, I was thinking of law of attraction, and then there was a helicopter going overhead.
Have you attracted the helicopter?
Helicopter, totally. Low flying helicopter making a ton of noise.
We just love to be, this is the game of the podcast, isn't it?
You start recording and all things happen.
The helicopters come, everyone runs out from outside and bangs pots and pans the whole time. That's just how it works, you know.
I was thinking about law of attraction. The law of attraction, I feel, got a bad rap because, and it got reduced to its lowest denominator with that secret, you know, movie.
Mm-hmm.
I feel that the law of attraction really is, if you're in a certain vibration, you will attract that. So if you are in gratitude and you're in blessings, you will attract that. If you are in, you know, experiencing love, you will attract that. If you're experiencing something else, then you'll attract that. Right, but you have to be in a certain state. It's not about manifesting a mansion or, you know, not that. Because even if you do attract a mansion, right, if you don't take care of your mind, you're not going to be happy in the mansion.
Well, no, it's true, though. It's just true. Now, the law of attraction is at energy frequencies. It's not that you can just imagine a mansion and you're going to get one all of a sudden. That's too simplistic, and people who think that way tend to be always doing that and not getting what they want. So that these are nuanced topics that we could get into. The next law of the game, which is extremely important, is that pain is a messenger in the game. So pain is part of life, and when we have pain, it's trying to tell us a message, isn't it? Like if you put your hand on a hot stove, it immediately hurts. And there's good job that it does hurt, because if it didn't, you might hold it on there and not notice that it happened. People who are what are they called? Lepers. They lose their fingers, right? I always thought leprosy causes finger loss. That's what I thought, right? But I learned more about lepers because in Hawaii they had a leper island. And leprosy actually is where they lose the sense of touch. They can't feel pain in parts of their body. So they end up harming their fingers without knowing about it because they can't feel the pain. That's how they lose their fingers. Not because their fingers just fall off because of some disease, but because they can't feel the pain. So when you remove the pain, physical pain, then we don't get the feedback and we don't adjust ourselves.
Right.
And when we don't get emotional pain, then we don't get a sense of what's off in our life and make changes either.
And you know this thing about obstacles, you were talking about obstacles a while back, that, you know, like if you just, what, Mario Brothers or whatever, that you just keep walking by, it's not fun, right? You need obstacles. But also that these obstacles are a gift. Right. That's another rule of the game, is that they will be obstacles. And everyone really pretty much has similar obstacles. Some know how to deal with it. Some now take more longer time to deal with it. But also that every obstacle really comes with a gift, a hidden gift.
That's right. Yeah, that's the fifth rule of the game. Every obstacle has a hidden gift inside of it. Every problem contains inside of it some solution or some gift. So when we realize that, then any issue at all, the question we can ask ourselves is, what is the gift? This is what I try and do nowadays, now that I've understood this. If I have a problem, I ask, what's the gift? What's the gift? What's the gift? Right? Because the quicker I can get it, the better it is. Normally what happens in the game is we come across an obstacle and we go, oh, I don't like it, I don't like it, this is unfair, I don't like it, this shouldn't be happening, this is wrong. And then we wallow around, oh, I don't like it, this is unpleasant. And then later on we find out that there was a gift, actually, sometimes years later. So one of the tactical methods is that as soon as we have a problem, to immediately say, where's the gift?
Yes, where's but gift? Even if where's we don't gift? Know the gift, Michael, even if you right. don't know the gift right away, just to accept there is a gift, and at some point the gift there will be revealed.
Gift. Yeah, you might not get it. It might not come right away. But right. But I find that just asking the question, it often speeds it up more than it would if I... Because the attitude typically is, this is bad. It shouldn't happen. I don't like it. and I want it to be different. I'm just speaking for myself. Many times, oh, why is this thing late? Why did this thing happen? Why did this person do this thing? How come this didn't happen? So having the trust that there is benefit in it, and then when we get the benefit out of it, then that actually helps us move on to the higher level.
I feel one more.
There's probably lots of rules of the game.
One more is to live in your attainments. It's really important. Like people say, it's about gratitude, yes, but also to live with that attitude, of gratitude, to really live in your attainments. Every time, keep counting your attainments. Keep feeling that you've attained so many things.
Yeah, the more we count our blessings, our attainments, our wealth, we enjoy.
You know, in the last podcast, you were talking about how the cameras we got are $1,000 less than what we bought it for.
How could they do this to us?
Right. First, I don't go check prices again because I just don't have the time for that. But still, even if I did go check, I would think, oh my God, I have this camera. Not, oh, it's $1,000 less. I got it the wrong price. I have regrets. This, that, right?
And there's a new camera that's come out that's better. Oh my God, we should get a better one.
So yeah. I feel that to have a sense of attainments, I've attained this camera. Imagine all of the technology, everything that had to go into making that camera. And it's so much attainments if I live in that instead of thinking of just the $1,000, which is a lot of money actually.
If we were the only people in the world who had these cameras and we had to commission them to make them for us, it would cost us hundreds of millions of dollars. That's how much it would cost to get them. But, you know, they mass produce them, so they're cheaper. But it's a remarkable piece of equipment. Yeah, so to live in the attainment is going to make the game more fun. And that's winning the game. Winning the game is being happy, knowing who we are, and creating beneficial outcomes, success. So what do you think the game of, what is winning, in your opinion, Shireen, winning? How do you know if you won in the game of life? Because games are always about winning something.
I would say winning would be growth, that if I'm growing from something, that would be winning. The other part of winning would be that I'm content, right? I'm content. There's mastery over my mind. That would be winning. I have a deep connection with the Supreme Soul. That would be winning. So I think those three would be winning. Is I have mastery over my mind, I have deep contentment, which is one, and two is I have a connection with the Supreme Soul, and three is I feel I'm growing. There's growth.
Yeah, that's a very good win. So in other words, you have a internal sense of mastery and move, and you're expanding your consciousness and connecting with truth and reality and the higher awareness. That's the ultimate win, really, isn't it? Waking up from the dream.
Right. And feeling like I'm connected, you know, I'm always connected, eternally connected with the Supreme Soul. That's a big win for me. How about you?
That's a huge win. Yeah, no, I mean, I agree with all those things. Being in divine communion, divine connection, and feeling spiritually liberated, masterful, and being happy, being content, relaxed, being able to enjoy life, you know, having that joy for being alive, I think is a big win, rather than, oh God, not another day to be happy. So there's the inner feeling of wealth and abundance. That's major win. That's the biggest win, ultimately, because if you got that, you got everything. And then there's game within a game, and then the game within a game is the physical things in our life, like having a nice situation or looking after your future self or having enough money to manage things. These are like smaller games within a game. But in order to genuinely enjoy those smaller games, it's better if we feel safe and secure in the bigger game first. Because otherwise, let's say someone has won the money game, it doesn't mean that they're happy or enjoying their money, does it? They might actually feel super stressed that they're going to lose everything. Or someone might be healthy, but they're depressed, or they might not have any money, or they might feel just horribly disconnected from who they are. So if we win the big game first, then when we play these smaller games, we can do it with a sense of lightness and ease. So why not win both? That's what I think. You know, it's not just spiritual awakening. I might as well have the whole thing, but focus mainly on the spiritual game.
One thing I feel is the one we have to accept in the game is you're not going to have everything in this time. But even if you don't have everything, if you see life as a game, if you feel that deep connection, you know, good relationships, for me, with the Supreme Soul is important, all of these things, then you're really winning. Physically, right? No avatar is going to have everything. It appears that they have everything, but really they don't. And no comparison, don't look at anyone else, don't think, oh, they have everything I don't have. Don't worry about all of that, because people don't.
It's worth thinking about for yourself, what is winning, really? What does it mean to win? Because we spend so much time and energy doing things anyway. There's all these obstacles, we're trying to overcome obstacles, dealing with all these things. What's the win? Because if we don't know what it is, we can spend our whole life playing some random game that doesn't mean anything to us. This is a huge topic.
It is a huge topic. I want to talk about some tools.
Yeah, go ahead.
Like spiritual tools, right? It's a spiritual game and they're spiritual tools. Meditation is one of them. And we do have a course where you can really learn meditation in spiritualtravelers.org. And
we even have a course that I did called How to Win in the Game of Life or something along those lines. Yes. So in more detail on this topic, so you can get that as well for free.
Yes. But I was thinking like meditation is one of the tools, right? The one of the tools to play this game is meditation. And the other tool, which I've been thinking maybe the next podcast we can talk about this, is positioning. How am I positioning myself in the game? Affirmations, right? Really positioning myself in a very high state of dignity, self-respect. All of those are really winning. Those are tools. If I'm not using the tools, then I'm not making use of the game properly. Right, like in Minecraft, let's say there are certain tools and you want to play the game properly, then you need to use those tools to play the game properly. So meditation, positioning, affirmations, all of these are real tools.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, the mastering, the biggest tool is the mind, isn't it? The mind and the focusing power, the internal game. That's the biggest game. The game is won mostly here first, isn't it? And then it, then what we do comes out of that. Even deciding what to do, we have to win that idea of what to be doing with our time and energy in our mind, because otherwise we're just running around reacting to things in the game without strategizing. The people who are the best at winning any game, they have a strategy, don't they? They've got, they're not just, they know the game, and they think like chess masters. They have some very, very sophisticated strategies. They don't just, whatever they feel like. So a lot of the game of life is won in our consciousness before anything physically happens at all. So this is a huge, big deal. So hopefully what you can take from this is that you are a spiritual being. You're playing a game right now, and you've always been playing a game. You're safe and secure. There are rules to the game. And if you think of it, any obstacle that comes up in your life, think of it as a game. This is an obstacle in the game, specifically designed, custom made, just for you to move forward in your life. So every single obstacle is a game, part of the game, and it has a special benefit inside of it. And once you uncover what that is, then you will break through and go to the next level in the game. Yay. All right, Shireen, blessings.
Blessings. You want to pick a number?
103.
103. Truth.
Truth.
At last, you have found your true self. Embracing the stillness it brings. Beyond the allure of false promises, a deep inner bond awaits, one with timeless truths. You have begun your journey into divinity, unclouded by outside distractions.
What a wonder. So enjoy the game of life. We have free courses on more about the game of life that you can get in the links and descriptions. Have fun playing it. Talk to you soon.
Om Shanti.